There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Redmen TV. Welcome to the build-up show. The countdown to the Merseyside Derby is on. Liverpool taking on the Blues at Anfield at the weekend. I am Paul Machin. I'm joined by Chris Pajak, by Callum Sanderson, and by John Machin as well. What a time it is to be a Red. Positivity overfloweth in the big cup of life at the moment because we've won a game of football. Yeah, I mean, that just is what it is, Chris. The way we tend to shoot, just be appearing behind the curtain for a moment, if anyone's even remotely asked, we tend to do final words of the previous game, then straight into a build-up for the next match, and they have been a slog for the last couple of weeks. Yeah. A real slog. Because, not, you know, in a normal world, you'd finish talking about one game, you'd have a day or two to digest and mull over, hopefully feel a little bit better, and then you'd go again for the next one. We haven't had that, but now I don't need it. I'm full of bees and full of energy, full of joy.
We build up to derbies in different ways. Like, I was so full of positivity, but now we're talking about Everton and I'm getting nervous. I can feel myself getting nervous for the derby and I'm not ready to let go of last night's performance yet. Yeah. I'm not ready to let go of the good feelings. I don't want to be nervous 3 days out from the bloody game, you know what I mean? But this is what derbies do to you, yeah. And I still think, you know, regardless, that was an incredible performance last night. And we've got to be able to take that now and what we did well into this game. And if we do that, we'll beat Everton.
Yeah. And the good thing about this is that, look, it's going to be a tight game regardless, Dad. Look, Everton are a good team and they've given us some good games in derbies so in the last couple of years. Yeah, we've had the wins still where we've needed them. But they've been getting closer and closer, particularly, you know, there's a couple of games you think back to, obviously, the Divock Origi moment being the outstanding one. Everyone remembers that for that moment, but Everton were really good in that game. Carlo Ancelotti's a fantastic manager. They're doing well this season by their own low standards, to be fair, but, you know, they are. What we've got now, because I think Liverpool were always capable of winning this, but I at least we feel like Liverpool are capable of winning football matches again, which is a major psychological shift.
Yeah, we also seem to be playing well away from home, not necessarily at home. So
yeah,
I think that sort of plays into it as well. But it's a derby game, and you have no clue how it's going to be. It could be one of those really dour games we've had too many of. Oh, yet it could be full of blood and thunder. I mean, was it Ancelotti's first game where they could have been two up in the first 5 minutes at Anfield? I mean, it could be that kind of a game. You just don't know. I think that's why you get nervous, because you just don't know what to expect.
That's,
you know,
true.
Any other team in their position over the years, you'd go into the game thinking, well, this is easy. Mm. And yet, you know, it's never easy.
It's what you've got, Callum, is a bunch of things where you build a story up and you build a narrative up. And look, let's be honest, and I always had this line written pre-Leipzig, so it feels less true because we've just won a game, of course, but this is their, if they're going to win a game at Anfield, like now's the time to do it. You know, Man City have just broken their hoodoo at Anfield as well. There's a bunch of teams coming to our ground now thinking, okay, well, you know, we can make a better fist of this. Not having the crowds makes a massive, massive difference to our offering at home. I think Liverpool just turning the corner in form has definitely kind of softened the edges off that a little bit. But equally, it's no less true. Now, it's up to Liverpool to continue the narrative, because we've had these every Merseyside derby the last 5 years. We've had a, this is the reason why it might, it's the right time for Everton to finally win one of these things. And every time we find a new way to make it the most Everton thing ever. And this is a new, this is, that's the, that's what this game is. It's either Everton finally breaking that, that curse at Anfield in the circumstances where they should do, or it's Liverpool finding a way to make it, to get a win once again, even though it should have been, which makes it all the more heartbreaking for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think what adds another dimension to this game is, as you said, Carlo Ancelotti. He is one of the all-time great managers, and he's got a pretty decent record against Klopp as well. So you can't underestimate that. But yeah, at the moment, if you want to play against Liverpool and you want to play them at Anfield, now is the absolute perfect time. I mean, we even saw when we played Tottenham and Wolves at Anfield, we had a few thousand fans, just the difference that made. And then obviously we lost the games to Burnley, Brighton and City, and we just didn't look right at all in the games, let alone it being at Anfield. However, it does seem like we're starting to turn a corner, so it's difficult to sort of process what's going to happen. But if you're an Everton fan, you're thinking, yeah, now we do it now. We do it right now.
They probably still aren't, because they're a browbeaten bunch, Chris. But there will be a little part, I think, in the eternal optimist in the back of their
mind. They could go into this game level on points with us.
Yeah.
The likelihood is they don't. Mm. They could go level with a win.
Yes.
Because they play Manchester City tonight, don't they? But, I mean, like, what would that do if they get a win against Manchester City and then they come to Anfield? That's the narrative, isn't it? It's now's the time. We're level on points. We beat them at Anfield and we go above them by right with a game in hand in the league table as well.
Yeah, I we'll talk. We can talk a little bit about it. I'm trying to kind of skate around that, because obviously they do play tonight on the night of film with the Man City thing. And you're right, there's no expectations on me for them to get anything from Manchester City at all. But they have got very much. I mean, look, Klopp's conceded the title. I don't have my eyes on that part of the table anymore. But
yeah, firmly focused on West Ham and Everton.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. Oh, no, kill off all the things around you, and see where you lie. But the fact that they also played City last game of the season, now they'll be made up. I mean, there's probably a degree to which Evertonians would take a defeat against Man City just to make sure they've done their bit to us not winning the title.
They'd already won the league.
Yeah, yeah. So that they don't end up in that, like, Sophie's Choice style situation of where they might end up needing a win for top four on the last game of the season, but it could give Liverpool the title if they do, which would be their absolute worst nightmare. But no, I mean, one of the interesting points, Chris, is that their away record's better than their home record. So this will be an interesting one. The fact that our home form has struggled a little bit of late, in some regards, I treat that as a positive for us, because I can't see us losing another game at home on the bounce. But as I say, we are weak in that regard, and that is where they pick up the majority of their points.
Yeah, look, and they're going to be a completely different outfit. If Calvert-Lewin's not going to be fit and available, and if James Rodriguez isn't going to be fit and available, obviously both doubts for this game as it stands a few days out, like they'll be a different proposition, and they'll come for a draw, I'd imagine, and they'll come not to get beat and not lose ground on us. Even so, even with them being available, what we've seen from Everton over the last few years is coming for that draw, you know, and trying to nick or engineer a victory. It's not really worked out for them in the past. It hasn't worked out for them for a long time at Anfield. I guess they're coming for a draw anyway, and they're going to make it very difficult for Liverpool. And it's just going to be one of those games that we've had so many of over the course of the last few weeks of, can you break us down?
There's a little bit of added needle to this, isn't there, Dad? Just because of how the derby went at Goodison Park, obviously the Virgil van Dijk thing, and particularly Thiago. Obviously, Thiago now finally back in the side. Looks like he's finally up and running. Great performance from him against Leipzig. There is that added little extra. And again, as well, psychologically for the team, you might look at, like, some of the players might look at that as the turning point in our season. I mean, it wasn't in terms of results immediately, but it's hard not to look back on that match at Goodison and say that was a significant moment in how our season took a turn for the worse.
Yeah, I mean, if the crowd was allowed in, it would be an absolute nightmare for Everton this game after what happened at Goodison. Because they did ruin our season. They did take out our best defender, and they did take out Thiago and stop him from settling into, you know, his new team. And it's undoubtedly affected our season, no doubt about it. But I'm hoping that what that will do is it'll spur the players on. I think the players will want to get something out of this game because of that, you know. And hopefully that might give us the edge, because I see them, I don't see them defending and not going anywhere. I see them looking at how, you know, teams have got results at Liverpool in the last few weeks, last couple of months, and playing like that, you know, trying to move out of defence really quickly and, you know, play on our behind our fullbacks, you know, and try and play on any weakness at the back. And, you know, so that's going to play on, you know, who's going to play at the back for us and whether, you know, Kabak can survive a derby game, you know, without getting
Yeah. Well, that's the point. He does feel like a very Merseyside derby footballer, doesn't he, Ozan Kabak?
I just want to talk a little bit about the Thiago thing. It's not something I'd really considered, gents, before. But now we're starting, like, he's coming into a new team. Yeah, you get that. But he's also coming into a new league. He's not coming up against players that he's played against before. We're actually starting to enter a part of the season where he might have played these teams and these players previously.
Or at least been sat on the touchline watching them.
I'm watching them. But that I wonder if that will help Thiago in any way. It should do, you know. It must be difficult when you're going into a game not knowing how the other players play. Mm-hmm. Like what their tendencies are. When you've spent 9 years or whatever it is in the Bundesliga, you know every player inside and out. You know, and you know what they like to do, what they don't like to do, what they're scared of, what works against them, how you go past them and all those types of things. You know, I know we go, it's not long against Everton and stuff like that, but it must just give him a little bit more confidence that he's going to start coming up against teams he's actually played against before.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, there's recognisable things when they go to do their analysis of the matches again. He's like, yeah, I remember that from last time. You know, those are things, there's notes to improve upon. And just, I think him being in a midfield that functions makes a massive difference. It's funny because, you know, I feel a real, like, prickles in the back of my neck, like, when we talk about he needs X, Y, and Z in order for him to work. And I just think about all the slaughtering people have given Paul Pogba over the years for using those kind of how do you unlock Thiago Alcantara? But it's how Liverpool functions as a midfield. It's as much about him gaining a greater understanding of the system and how it works. And the last few games have been a real encouraging step forward for him and for Liverpool as a whole, and that will definitely add, even if it's only marginal gains to what he's bringing to the midfield, without a shadow of a doubt. But I just want to see Liverpool. I go back to that Liverpool quite combative midfield. But what we're doing, if you look at the personnel, because you look back at what the old school Brexit midfield was of Jordan Henderson, Milner, and Wijnaldum, and we think of them as being very industrious and whatever. Well, at the minute we've got a midfield three of Wijnaldum, Thiago, and Curtis Jones, and they're actually, look at them, wingers and attack and tens, you know, through their development as footballers, and they're now doing the industrious stuff. But they've also got that extra thing on top. It's a potentially a very exciting thing. And if they can just continue that development that we've seen the last couple of weeks, this could be a very good game indeed. Right, we're going to chat a bit more about what Liverpool are going to do in terms of personnel lineups and what we think about this game. But we are going to take a very short break before we do that. There is a trivia question to keep you all interested in the meantime. When was the last time Carlo Ancelotti won at Anfield? We'll have a bonus set of 11 points if you can name our starting 11. And if you can also name the current Everton player who played that night. Back in a sec.
It's mad that scoring in a Champions League final isn't even Divock Origi's most iconic moment in a Liverpool shirt, but here we are. We were under pressure in Madrid, but there was big Divock to bury a second and hand us a sixth European Cup. Cue absolute carnage in our end.
Divock Origi's gave us some absolutely fantastic moments, hasn't he? But that's got to be up there at the top, because he scored a goal in the Champions League final to finish it. That was it. We'd won it then.
When Salah gets and scores the pen, I nearly faint because my body can't process that Liverpool could possibly be ahead so early into a game. And in the game, let's be honest, it was a slog of a football match.
It had been quite tense. You know, there was a period of 20 minutes there, 25 minutes, where Tottenham really looked like they might have scored. And you know, if you go into extra time in that game and Tottenham are hanging on in there, good side, well organised side, they've got players like Harry Kane on the pitch. The last thing you want is to having to, you know, to continue at 1-1. Maybe they even take it to penalties. You know, you don't want it to get that far. The celebrations in that end were mad.
seals your happiness, it seals the victory, it seals the fact that you can then, you know, even with 10 minutes to go, you can get a little bit complacent and think, you know, this is done, and that's when the party started.
What Divock Origi's goal did was it released all that pressure and it allowed our end, while the game was still going on, to really relax, and you know then that you're winning the European Cup and you can have a party in that end. You've got all the trophy lift to come and all the celebrations, but I would love just a single shot of just continuous 10 minutes just to watch our end for that 10 minutes while the game's still going on, because it's absolute bedlam and it's glorious.
Finally, we were champions of Europe again. It's been far, far too long.
As much as I would have loved to have been over there again, Liverpool was the place to be that night. It was unreal. All I did from that goal going in is dance, drink, jump up and down, little bit of work, and then back out and danced and drank, and just it was a just release of emotion, and we got to replicate that so many times in the next few years.
It was just amazing. He was deified as an absolute cult hero that season, and that was just the icing on top of the cake, really. Incredible.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Yeah, you can check out the 50 greatest moments of the Jürgen Klopp era so far on the redmentv.com. Sign up, not just that two-part wonderful series, but there's loads of Liverpool-related documentary series, full-length, feature-length documentaries, interviews with Liverpool legends, past and present, and if you join as a club legend, you get a load of extra bonus features, access to our wonderful Discord group, free merchandise, and the rest. Perfect time to sign up when the Reds are actually winning football matches.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Chris Pajak, when was the last time Carlo Ancelotti won at Anfield?
It was the 3-0 Real Madrid game.
It was.
And the player, I think, was James Rodriguez.
The Everton player could be James Rodriguez, correct?
The starting 11, I don't need the extra bonus points.
Ooh, okay. Callum, who was in goal? Who was in goal for Liverpool that night?
Mignolet,
correct. Do you want to have a stab at any of the back four?
Moreno was left back.
He was.
Skirtle and Lovren were centre backs.
They were.
I'm going to go. Was it Glenn Johnson right back?
He's nailed this so far. Go on, keep going. Let's see what you got in midfield.
Central midfield, Gerrard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who else we had. So I know Gerrard didn't play at the Bernabeu, and there was an uproar about that. Joe Allen start this game.
Joe Allen started the game.
Wow.
And I'm thinking Lucas Leiva.
Oh no! Third midfielder. Who was the third midfielder, Dad?
Adam Lallana.
No, Chris Pajak. Come on, this is the easiest one of the lot.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month.
That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Henderson.
Why was it?
He literally still plays in the midfield for the first. Henderson, well done, Callum. And a front three. Get any names, Chris?
Sterling.
Raheem Sterling, no Sturridge.
Coutinho and Balotelli.
Felipe Coutinho and Mario Balotelli. And we genuinely thought we were going to beat a Real Madrid team that had Casillas, Rafael Varane, Pepe, Marcelo, James Rodriguez, Tony Cruz, Luka Modric, Isco, Benzema and Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah, we got beat 3-0 that night. We got absolutely battered.
3-0 down at half-time.
They walked all over us that night. Yeah, and Chris got caught on camera giving a standing ovation to Cristiano Ronaldo and got slaughtered for the days that followed. Yeah, absolutely. And literally 45,000 people stood up and applauded Cristiano Ronaldo off the pitch because he was that good. And the camera happened to fall on Chris. Oh my God. I mean, at least you didn't have an Everton shirt on while you were doing it.
Fantastic. Yeah, imagine that. Jesus, wet.
Oh, well, while we're here, by the way, yeah, because it's doubtless going to come up because it's a derby week. Just to say one more time, Chris lost the bet with his brother, had to wear the shirt, and I took the photo of him. He's not got a twin. He wishes he had. It was a stupid bet because Chris Pajak does not back out on a bet. Whether that makes him stupid, brave, or honourable, I do not know, but it was done.
The photo was taken outside your dad's house as well, wasn't it? It's in your thingy. Yeah. And I'm more embarrassed by the jeans than I am the to be perfectly honest with you, because they were terrible jeans.
Kirsten is
stonewashed
boot cut, stonewashed jeans, and his Marlboro light clutched in hand. What a time it was. There we go, because we have to mention that every major said that, because Chris's mentions will be filled with it, because it always is. Right, let's get on with the show then and what we're going to do this weekend. I guess that the only real selection will depend on players coming back. If Fabinho is fit, Chris, do you put him back in at centre-half?
I don't know, because you're just playing a new centre-back partnership again, aren't you? You know, we don't want to make it number 17 this week, I don't feel like. I think Jordan Henderson, Kabak, they built up a little bit of a rapport there. I think Henderson will be dying to get back into midfield. He wants to be in that midfield, and I can see that, like, look, we were supposed to rest Thiago against Leicester, weren't we? And he ends up coming in for James Milner. So he's probably due a break at some point and due a bit of a rest. And, you know, he picks up yellow cards and all that, and he's going against a team that injured him last time out as well. There's a potential there that there's, and it's going to be tasty, there's a potential that he might lose his head. And maybe that's another reason as well. Maybe that plays into your thinking. So knowing what Kurt Jones knows about this game, growing up a scouser in the city, knowing Gini Wijnaldum, he knows this game, and Jordan Henderson knows this game. That's a midfield three for me that can really do the business against Everton.
Yeah.
Would I risk it on a new centre-back partnership? I will not give the answer to that. Do I think Klopp will risk it? No.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, isn't it, Callum, is that we don't know what the pecking order is for centre-halves yet. Like, there's a chance that he does just think that, you know, Fabinho is ahead of Jordan Henderson in the centre-back pecking order, which I think we knew that, because obviously Henderson was playing in midfield, Fabinho was playing at the back.
I'd be more tempted to throw Fabinho in at the end and keep the centre-backs the same.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? Is that we this might tell us, or it might not, because it might be easier just to put Fabinho in midfield, because as we said there, that would then be three games for Henderson and Kabak. They've been okay, you know, in that time. We talked a lot on The Final Word about how Henderson's passing range has certainly aided the team in that spell. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the manager does if Fabinho's available.
Yeah, I think I agree with Chris. I think it's a risk just throwing a new centre-back partnership at this stage. And Fabinho's best position is defensive midfield as well. So you're throwing him in there. Yes, you're losing Hendo in midfield, but you're gaining a massive asset in central midfield. And Fabinho, it's not only his defending and reading of the game, but his passing as well going forward. He's very creative from that DM role. But also, I'm more of a prevention and a cure type of person. And Fabinho, he stops the ball getting to our defence so much. So him being there actually relieves a lot of the pressure on Kabak and Henderson. And then you start to build up a little partnership between those three, and you can build the team around that spine there as well. And I think him coming back into DM, there's less pressure than if he comes back as a centre-back as well.
Dad?
I don't know. Have we got a free week this week coming up? Do we not have a midweek?
After this week, yeah. After the weekend.
So I wouldn't surprise me if he left Fabinho out completely. And then worked on him and Kabak throughout the next week. Because there's no doubt in my mind that Fabinho's our main centre-back at the moment, sad as it is. And he will play the rest of the season alongside Kabak. But everyone's right, you can't just throw them in and again and cause the chaos. So I suspect he'll leave him out and till next week. So I think he'll play Henderson and Kabak at centre-back.
It's tricky. It is so tricky because, you're right, we've just managed, you know, the form's been getting better. The result, we finally got a win, which again helps. And it feels like we're nurturing something. You know, like we've managed to, against the odds, you know, we're on Mars trying to cultivate just enough food to sustain us, and Liverpool have managed to get the first sort of shoots growing here. And it's whether we want to run the risk of dousing that to just change the methodology. But there is something with the Fabinho thing, I think, as mentioned. You know, you could just drop him in for this game, and, you know, particularly because their midfield's definitely gonna have Decore in it, and then there's obviously will be question marks about who Tom Davies will probably be in there. I quite like the idea of having a bigger fella in the midfield just to give us a little bit more of a battle, because Decore has given us some tired afternoons.
Yeah, he sets the line, doesn't he, Fabinho? That's what he does. He camps himself 40 yards away from goal and goes, "You're not getting past me, mate." You know, and that's what Fabinho does so well. And he recycles possession, and we produce wave upon wave of attacks because Fabinho's there, and we're able to not have to go all the way back to the centre halves and stuff. I agree with John. I think Fabinho and Kabak is the centre back partnership for the rest of the season. I just don't think it starts this weekend, I suppose.
Yeah. Or, I mean, we've not even mentioned Davies, because we've no idea where he is or where he falls in any of this. You know, if he's been training for a week, the plan might have been for him and Kabak to just start both games alongside each other, and we'll see. And again, this is the thing, we're back into that world of, we would probably all just keep Jordan Henderson at centre-half because we know it works, and we've seen it.
We've won a game.
Yeah, God, don't change anything. It's finally working. Quick, just hold on to that. But, you know, for all we know, that's been another emergency pairing in the situation, and you're right, it might well have just been Fabinho, or it might well have just been Davies, and we might find out of nowhere Fabinho's back, Davies has been training for the full week, and all of a sudden it's Davies and Kabak.
No, oh, Fabinho Henderson, Thiago, sound.
No, I do agree with the DM thing. If you're going to change one thing, I think at the moment Thiago's just found a little bit of form. Curtis Jones is playing really well. Genie probably needs the rest, which might be a contributing factor to this. So you could do worse than just.
Genie doesn't need rest.
No. But
ridiculous.
It would be comforting to have an option to rotate that. Callum, I don't really think there's too much more other than that, is there, really? You know, everything else feels like a shout that probably weakens what we're trying to do.
Apart from Divock, Callum.
Yeah. Off the bench, mate.
Yeah, he's got.
Is Pickford fit again?
I'm hoping Pickford is fit, because it increases our chance of winning the game, in my opinion. He's that bad.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that Olsen's worse. It matters that he's a second-choice goalkeeper. The second-choice goalkeepers are always better than Anfield.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. No, I think you guys are right with the selection. I mean, one name that we forget is Nat Phillips as well. I mean, he hasn't really put a foot wrong, but he just seems to have just gone way down in the pecking order, which seems a bit weird. But Klopp obviously has his reasons. He sees him training.
The thing is, Cal, sorry to interrupt, mate. If Phillips was the answer, we wouldn't have bought two centre-halves. So yeah. I'm not surprised he's gone down the pecking order, to be honest.
Yeah. And you can see it. It's at this point, it's who's partnering Kabak. You know, I think that's what we're kind of starting to see. Unless we just want to rotate, well, I think it'd be mad if we just started taking him out and rotating him. I don't think you need to rotate centre-halves unless they're injured, as we've discovered. So it is who partners and who's the best partner. And you listen back to the, I don't know if anyone watched the All Kabak's Touches video on the Liverpool website.
Not yet.
But you can hear Jordan Henderson barking over the top of them, as of course you can whenever he's on the pitch. But that's the thing about Henderson. yes, I don't think his defensive positioning's been great. In fact, it's been the one weakness of him playing at centre half. But one thing he does do is he just talks and shouts the nearby players through the game, and it's whether we feel Kabak's actually, because he looks like a confident kid. You know, I could see a world before long where you would be fine with him. Mm. You know, just being in there. You know, God knows Joe Gomez finally got there, albeit he's obviously 3-4 years older, of course. But I do wonder that the Nat Phillips, do you trust Nat Phillips to be the guy to marshal what we're doing? That's why I think it's probably, he is probably just down the pecking order, and Davies would probably be above him. And the fact that he's left-footed as well means that there's a nice dovetailing of Kabak and him at some point. But again, complete unknowns. But you might be right, Dad. It might be just another week will help us. Let's have another little quick look at the other games going to be going on this weekend. Southampton Chelsea's the early kickoff on the Saturday before us. It would be very nice indeed, Dad, if Chelsea could just have their legs swept from under them, you know, just to sort of stem the tide of positivity.
Minamino and Ings.
Yep. I mean, it's got a fantastic story written all over it, that really, hasn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Southampton are a funny side, a bit like us. They've been terrific at times this season. And then suddenly, for no reason whatsoever, they beat us. And as soon as they beat us, they became rubbish. And they've been terrible ever since. But
that's what you get.
Yeah, we've got Danny Ings. You've always got a chance of a goal. And Minamino scored on his debut, didn't he? There, so
yeah.
I mean, they've lost the last five, haven't they? Southampton in the league and stuff at the moment.
Do a win.
Yeah, they do a win. This could be a really good weekend for us. Obviously, you know, West Ham play Spurs as well. That's another big game in the fight for top four. Southampton, although the form they're in is not great, they've got the ability to beat teams.
Mm-hmm. At home as well.
You know, and we're in a six-pointer ourselves. Results could go our way this weekend and we could be in fourth.
This is, we talked about this, about getting your form back at the right time in terms of all the other things that happen around the league. Obviously, we slipped down to sixth ahead of this game, which is a concern. But you're right, the way the fixtures fall, there's an opportunity for us to completely flip the table back into a way that we want it to be if we can go and get the 3 points.
Normally, you have to wait a few weeks for this type of a situation, whereas equally, flip reverse, it's the same for the other sides.
Well, yeah, exactly. If we do, and that's the problem, is that if we cock it up against Everton, we could end up in a really, really difficult situation. But particularly again, if Chelsea continue to win games, because they're going to start to pull away from us, which is a problem. But you're right, looking at the fixture, the Southampton thing. I, you know, everyone knows I like a nice narrative and a story. I'm reminded of Barini, I think, being on loan at Sunderland in 13-14, and he just kept scoring like penalties and important goals against teams that mattered to us. I'd be well up for Minamino and to a certain extent Ings being that factor for us this year. Let's just hope it starts at the weekend. You mentioned that, Chris, West Ham Spurs. I mean, Callum, that's a tricky one. I mean, you would imagine Spurs will come out on top in that one, but that's got just a terrible game of football written all over it, as it is two teams to attempt to engage at arm's length whilst defending for their lives.
Yeah, it could either be. I mean, the game earlier in this season was a great game, the 3-3 when Lanzini got that worldie at the end. But both teams, I think, were a bit more adventurous than Mourinho definitely is an adventurous now. It is literally get the ball to Kane on the halfway line, play it over the top to Son and score a goal. That is their game at the moment. So it could be a rough watch, that one.
Yeah, the Villa.
I think West Ham are favourites in that game. I think the way that West Ham are playing, the way that Tottenham are playing.
Yeah, I agree.
Tottenham have lost four of the last five games.
Yeah.
West Ham have been putting in performances and getting results.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Time for them to lose. yeah, we'll see. Villa, Leicester, in terms of those teams, I think we'll get a clearer picture from that of are Leicester genuine, you know, second or third in the table material? Are Aston Villa genuine top four material? Does it, it's got. A draw would kind of be lovely, I think, in this game.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I'm not disrespecting Leicester. You know, they've been in the top four for the last 18 months, bar one day, and it just happened to be the last day of the bloody league season last year, didn't it? They're top four. Yeah. They should be spoken about every time we talk about the good sides, not the big side, the good sides in this league for a reason. They're starting to put it together and they don't look as brittle and as fragile as they did do. I guess Leicester go on and beat Aston Villa there.
Hmm. Arsenal City, Dad City to absolutely wipe the floor with Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, they're a really funny side, Arsenal, at the moment. Sometimes they look absolutely fantastic. Other times they just look rubbish. And again, they're another team like us. They've just been up and down all season. And City now are just, you know, imperious, aren't they? They've just gone over their hump at the beginning of the season and they're now just playing the best football they've played for like 2 years, probably.
As far as Arsenal can say, I think
that, you know, they don't need De Bruyne because Gundogan playing his role is actually better at it than De Bruyne is. So, they don't need De Bruyne because they don't need him.
Yeah, we'll just take him off their hands. Save him a few bobbing wages there.
Is Gundogan injured at the moment? He picked up an injury, didn't he, last time out?
Interesting. Don't know.
I don't know how bad it was.
Yeah.
Because he scored the two goals, didn't he, at the weekend? Yeah. And then I'm sure he goes off injured in that game as well.
As we mentioned before, they've got Everton Wednesday night, which is an extra game for Man City to play. You know, with this game looming at the weekend as well. So you never know. Again, at this point, Arsenal are very Everton-like, where don't ever put any of your hopes, dreams, or faith into them to get a result for you, because you're only going to end up disappointed. That's in their funny sides. I mean, their fans don't ever seem particularly amused by them.
They're scared of drawing games as well, because I mean, I think I'm right in saying they've won 10, only drawn 4 and lost 10. Like, that's a crazy stat, isn't it, for Arsenal Football Club to win as many games as they've lost.
Their fans actually wanted Wenger out, let's not forget, who got them in the Champions League every season. That's how stupid their fans are.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
We're bored of finishing fourth. We want to finish 10th.
Yeah,
get rid of him. Get rid of him.
We want the climb back up to fourth again. You know what I mean, for the ride. But that's what Arsenal are. You know, I have no expectations on Arsenal at all. The Arteta knowing Pep thing hasn't really worked out too well. Maybe this is an opportunity for them. But he's gone back to basics, and that draw thing's interesting for Arsenal, because you turn your defeats into draws, then you turn your draws into wins, and that's your progression of how you go from being a, you know, fringes of Europe team to being a Champions League team to potentially being league.
They're going the other way though. But this they've thing turned their wins into draws and their draws into losses over the last 2 years. Yeah.
But what they've done is they've just binned off loads of senior players, and he's just gone back to kids. He's just gone back to, like, I mean, like, Smith Rowe's come out of nowhere. I've had him on Footy Manager for the last 3 seasons, quality, but he's been nowhere near their team. And like, that's what they're going, he's going back to a bunch of lads that he can mould and shape and have do the thing. So they might be able to do something, but it would be like I would be more like they might be able to nick a draw rather than any expectation that they'll go and beat Man City, but that's at best that City will just turn them over, I imagine. And United, Newcastle are dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. All of a sudden, they're sucked into the relegation fight. No expectations there whatsoever.
I reckon Newcastle win that game.
Go ahead.
No.
Just no.
Steve Bruce, masterclass.
Did he get the monkey off his back last season with the win over Manchester United?
Did he get a win over them last season?
Maybe. Go on, Dan. What?
I reckon you get 20-1 for Newcastle to win that.
For a reason. Yeah, because they're absolutely rubbish. I'm sure
they beat them last season. It was one of the brothers got a wonder goal or something against them.
Oh,
didn't
yeah, he? Long yeah. stuff. You're right, 1-0, yeah.
Yeah, was it Sean or Matty or something? Which one of them was it?
No, it
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm sure, because it was like Steve Bruce has literally played against Manchester United 700 times as a manager and not got a win. And I'm sure they got the win last season.
Fingers crossed.
And that's it now. That's just the start of something.
Yeah, let's just have everyone else
kickstart the season, Newcastle.
Yeah, let's have everyone lose apart from us. That would be great. that's obviously not possible. But there you go. Right, okay, let's have score predictions. Liverpool, Everton, Merseyside Derby, Saturday, 5:30. Chris Pajak, what will the score
be? 1-1.
What?
Genuinely.
You think we're going to draw 1-1?
Yeah.
Callum, what do you think the score is going to be?
I'm hearing Calvert-Lewin is a doubt. If he's a doubt, I'm going 3-1 Liverpool.
Okay. Dad?
2-1.
Cool. Yeah, I'll take a bit of Callum's action there. If Calvert-Lewin's out, and we know he was ruled out of the midweek game for Man City, they'll be doing everything in their power to get him back, even if he's only, you know, they'll rush him back, even if he's not fully fit. If he's not on the field or he's down, that gives us a much better. I think Richarlison's their second highest goal scorer on 8 this season. I'll take a 3-1 to Liverpool. Thank you very much for all that. Let me know your thoughts in the comments alongside. Give us your score predictions. What will your starting 11 be? What would you do? What do you do, Hotshot, if Fabinho is fit? What do you do? What do you do? Right, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. That is the build-up show. We'll be back live on Saturday for a watch-along. Do join us 15 minutes before the game kicks off for the actual game itself. If you want to react to the team news, it is an hour before kickoff. So 4:30, we'll be live on the channel. Do subscribe, click that notification bell to be notified when we do go live. Don't forget to check Callum out as well, Team Coppish on YouTube, doing big things. Boss, and other than that, yeah, thank you so much for watching. We'll be back very, very soon indeed. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.